Original Gangsters News with Scott Bernstein.
Welcome to the Original Gangsters News Network. I am your host, Scott Bernstein. We are going to do our annual New York Five Families recap. We seem to do it, or the last couple of years, we've done it in the spring. And we're going to go around the horn to each of the five families and break down where each family stands in 2026 and what their administration looks like. And we're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool with the West Side, the Genovese crime family, the most prestigious of all the Big Apple Borgatas. We are going to just, you know, go back and recount some of the stuff that we reported in 2025 that was, you know, ahead of the curve. It hasn't even been reported by the mainstream media yet, but this is the new order, if you will, in the Genovese crime family is well known on the streets of New York. Everybody knows that Danny Pagano is the new boss, you know, whether it's official or unofficial. He has autonomy and is calling the shots as the boss. Barney Bellomo, the so-called boss of bosses, the most powerful mafia don in New York City, I'm told that he has not relinquished the reins, but has really taken a number of steps back from any true oversight. He'll chime in on policy and what he needs to, but for the most part, he is even more in the shadows than he has been in the past. And that Danny Pagano, former capo, former street boss, two-time street boss, is now the last say on matters when it comes to Genovese crime family. So Danny took the job in 2025 and named a relatively new cabinet, some old guys, some new guys. Some of the names are very familiar. They're names that a lot of people had predicted would rise in the family, and they have. So, and this isn't to diminish Barney, and it isn't to diminish Ernie Muscarella, who we're told is officially retired right now, dealing with some health issues. And at one point, you know, Ernie was the most powerful underboss in America, probably, but he was still the underboss. A lot of white noise out there attempting to confuse and subvert and undermine, but let's not lose track of what is real. And what is real is that Barney, for almost 40 years, has been a, you know, has been the guy behind the guy behind the guy, and or was, I should say, you know, since Chin left us, but, you know, started being groomed for that position, tapped by the Chin himself in the late 80s, and has been, you know, the true boss of bosses since he came home about a little bit over a decade and a half ago from the Feds. But Danny is, you know, it's the Danny Pagano era right now. And Danny has Ralphie Balsamo, Ralphie the Undertaker, as the underboss, replacing Ernie. Ernie's still in good standing. Ernie voluntarily left the underboss spot to deal with, you know, just being able to live his best life in his final years, unencumbered by the burden of responsibility. And, you know, Ernie's a legend, and we don't want anybody to think, because we haven't anointed Ernie a boss per se, the way other you know, other outlets in this genre have. We don't want Everett to be perceived as disrespecting Ernie, because we recognize that Ernie Muscarella is an OG's OG, as we like to say. But, you know, Ernie is now retired. Ralph Balsamo is the underboss. And Consigliere remains Patsy Perello out in Arthur Avenue on the Bronx. But Danny Pagano, who moved from street boss to boss, was replaced by Hippie Zanfordino, who, you know, whenever you're on top, whenever you're the gold standard, there are going to be people throwing shade, and Danny gets some shade, and Ralphie gets some shade, and Hippie's been getting a lot of shade in terms of, you know, not stuff that matters, but, you know, online bullshit. And, you know, this is the cream of the crop, and it goes with the territory. And this is the way the Genovese crime family is operating right now. Uncle Patty Falsetti, Mickey Ragusa, they're still very much in the mix. But the idea is to try to get rid of as many acting titles as possible. So I'm not sure if Patty or Mickey, who at one point both held spots in the administration, street boss, acting underboss, acting consigliere, whether they have those spots or not, they are administrative equivalent, as if they're just a cop. But and then we also want to mention two guys that are playing a real instrumental role in the way things are being done over on the West Side, but don't necessarily hold administrative posts. And that is Tony D, Anthony Palumbo, and Jimmy T, Jimmy Tenaglia. Jimmy T is, as we've reported, Danny Pagano's kind of chief of staff capo. And Tony D runs New Jersey, which I'm told by some people is on the West Side, it's considered like an official administrative post. I don't know if that's ever been in a court document or not. Not positive if that's cemented, but Tony D is another guy that is, and Jimmy T both are guys that are beyond normal capo status. Last person I'll say in the Genovese, you know, kind of invented the guy behind the guy behind the guy. So Barney, Ernie, and you can't forget Ally Shades, a guy that is the quintessential old timer and you know, a Yoda like presence. I'm told he's in a wheelchair. He's pushing 90, but still very, very. He's a sage. He's an oracle, and he is, in a lot of ways, somebody that pulls strings behind the curtain and has way more influence than you would think a guy that's 90 in a wheelchair might have, whether it's an official spot or not. He influences policy and influences decision-making when it comes to Barney and Danny and those guys. So that's what's going on with the Genovese. Let's move over to the Bananos, talk about Mikey Mancuso and his crew. So not a ton of shifts in the last year. There was one that we'll get into, but Mancuso is the boss. We've talked about how he has really come into his own as a godfather, and even though it's been 20 years unofficially, officially it's been 13, I think, 12 or 13. But as a somebody that's been on the streets, it's only been about 6 or 7, and you know, it's not heavy wears the crown, and Mikey Mancuso had some growing pains, but everyone that we've spoken to this is, for the most part, all the problems are behind them, and they are, you know, well-oiled machine that is more cohesive than they have been in the past. A lot of the problems between Brooklyn and the Bronx have been solved. There was a little bit of drama at the end of last year. We'll report on that particular situation between Josie and Mike in the Nose if it needs to be. But, all it was us and some other people reporting about Josie and his camp getting brought back into the fold after a failed insurrection effort and a shelving and some violence that erupted. Things had calmed down, and Josie was maybe going to be brought back into the family and given some type of leadership spot. But then there were some rumors of stuff going on in Venezuela that was just really propaganda that was being put out there to shade Josie. But nonetheless, it really derailed any of that momentum that Joe Camerano had in getting back his standing within the Bananas. But that's really neither here nor there when it comes to what is the administration look like in spring of 2026. And Mikey Mancuso is at the boss spot and is probably right now the third most powerful mafia boss in New York City, behind Danny and Barney with the Genovese, and the guys, the Sicilians in Brooklyn for the Gambinos. We'll get into to them at the end of this broadcast. But Mancuso is a force, and I think he has a better, stronger grip on the crime family than he's ever had as somebody that's been free on the streets, running the family, boots on the ground style, not from behind bars. So his best friend, Johnny Joe Spirito, is underboss / acting boss. His main protege, Ernie Aiello, is street boss. I'm not exactly sure how it breaks down between, Ernie is somebody that day to day, Ernie and Johnny Joe are running the store. Now, Jerry Capaci carries Ernie as a consigliere. We're very well sourced and have been reporting in the last year or two that Bruno Indelicato is a consigliere with the Bananas right now. We have also reported in the last 6 months that little Robert Lino is helping Bruno in that consigliere post, acting consigliere for Bruno's official consigliere. And Ernie Aiello, though, he's not really serving as a consigliere. And I'm not trying to shade Jerry, because Jerry is the pinnacle of mob reporting. It all really, in terms of modern day stuff, it really all starts and ends with Jerry. So Jerry is, I'm not going to say he's wrong. I'm just going to say that we differ in maybe in sourcing and where we're going to place him. And I would argue to Jerry, if I was having the conversation, that even if he held the conciliary role officially, there's what's on paper and then there's what's happening. And Ernie is not advising. Ernie is administrating. Ernie is really the day-to-day guy who everything is running through, all the capos and everything are running through him. Johnny Joe is is Mikey's best friend, so he's going to be the one, and he has elder statesman status over Ernie. seniority, but it's, you know, Ernie on a day-to-day basis is the boss of the Bananos as a street boss or however you want to place him. Johnny Joe is Mikey's underboss and acting boss, and Bruno Indelicato and little Robert Lino are the acting and consigliere roles. So that's where the Bananos stand right now. And like we said, I think they're, for the most part, they're a family that has come back together and is, one of the analogies I like to make in terms of kind of a tug of war analogy on the beach, everybody's tugging on the same side of the rope. And there was there were years, both past and relatively recent history where the Bananos were fractured. And that's Mikey Mancuso with the help of Bruno, Vinny TV, Badalamenti, Johnny Joe. They really put things back together, and Johnny Joe is getting a reputation as a real, both him and Anthony Indelicato, Bruno Indelicato, are getting the reputations. We did a podcast about this last year where they're have pivoted from cowboy to statesman, where they're changing their image on the street, kind of rehabbing their image from, you know, wild triggermen to guys that mediate disputes and get everyone together on the same page and facilitate peace and harmony and business moving forward, not being disrupted because of, you know, crazy juvenile antics that can sometimes break out within a crime family that they once themselves were probably guilty of. But I digress. Let's go move over to the Columbos and talk about Skinny Teddy. We know that Skinny Teddy Persico took over the Colombo crime family, assumed the mantle as the new face of the franchise, the steward of the last great American mafia dynasty out of Brooklyn, the Colombo mafia dynasty that's in the Persico Russo bloodlines. It goes back to the early to mid 70s. And Teddy has been waiting for his opportunity to wear the crown and came out last late spring, early summer, took charge. Just like we were talking about with Danny Pagano, Skinny Teddy came in and reshaped some things, remodeled some things, moved some things around. Right now, Skinny Teddy, because of some of the way that was facilitated and people that he was meeting with face to face that he wasn't supposed to be because it was violating his supervised release conditions, he just a couple weeks ago reported to federal prison in West Virginia, where he'll be held until around the holidays. I think Thanksgiving, he'll come out in about nine months for his supervised release violations while he was running around New York politicking to get the family to the place that he wanted it to be. I would say, based on everyone that I've spoken to and talking to a lot of sources, again, both sides of the law, I talk to people in the street as well as people in law enforcement that monitor things, that Teddy has put a, you know, kind of a dream team around him. Guys that he trusts, guys that are very capable, guys that are very respected. And just like with, you know, Mikey Mancuso, where Bananos have a history of some tumult and disharmony, Columbos have that same history. And Teddy's a, you know, he's a lightning rod of a guy in general, but is somebody that is, you know, he's got vision, he's got presence, he's got swagger and ambition. And from what I'm told right now, he is winning hearts and minds and really preaching old school Cosa Nostra. And the rank and file are inspired. And maybe he's got to be a little bit more careful with who he meets with and where he meets with them. But all the decisions he made in terms of putting his his cabinet together are getting they're getting rave reviews. So it's Skinny Teddy, it's his best friend BF Francis Guerra at the underboss spot. It's the acting boss, little Rob D'Onofrio, who's now back into the act back in the boss spot, because, or at least the acting boss spot, with Teddy away for the next 8 or 9 months. Little Rob kept the seat warm for about 3 or 4 years when Teddy was finishing up a prison sentence, and never really left the administration. Kind of went to acting underboss, acting consigliere role. I think officially it might be acting underboss that him and BF are running the street. So you got those first three, and then you got three behind them in Sally Two-Pair Fusco Jr., Sally Boy, Joe Waverly, Joe Kitachi, who's the OG's OG. I know another one of these guys in his 80s that's still very active and has a lot of power, a lot of juice. We've said it on here the last year or two in the mafia, especially in New York City, but also in other borgatas around the country. 80s the new 50. You got guys that are really sharp and on top of their game that are still very active and influential in some of these crime families, whether they have official administrative posts or not. So, but Joe Waverly is officially consigliere. We're told that Thomas Dioli, aka Tommy Schatz, who came out a couple of years ago, we're told that he's now back in the mix, helping with some of the counseling, advising, message relaying, along with Joe Waverly. Might be sharp in mind. His body, I'm told, he has had a lot of health issues and a lot of things right now are having to go through his son. But he still has his finger on the pulse and is still being utilized as the official consigliere. So, but Sally Boy, Sally Two-Pair, Sally Boy Fusco Jr., seems to be the guy that people might have forgot about until we learn from Teddy's supervised release violations that he had been meeting with Sally Fusco Jr. and that the government was calling Sally Fusco Jr. administrator. Sally, people call him Sally Boy or Sally Two-Pair. His dad was a former acting boss of the Columbos, Buzzo, and you also had a situation where he's a tough guy and he's an earner. He comes from the old bypass gang that was doing a lot of ballsy scores. He's a guy that's also kind of known as a politician type. He's not someone to be trifled with in terms of street activity, but he's also a guy that everybody gets along with, everybody likes, and is very close to Teddy. So that's how the Columbos look right now. Let's make a move over to the Lucchese's, and got some news to report with the Lucchese's and what's going on with the leadership over there. So Vic Amuso, 91 years old, has been locked up for 35 years. And he is still the official boss of his borgata, has refused to relinquish the reins, and as recently as the late 2010s was the central part of a bloodless coup where he deposed Matty Madonna and Stevie Crea in favor of Big Mike DeSantis. Big Mike DeSantis is still the boss. He's officially acting boss. Little Vic in prison is still officially boss. And then we've learned in the last couple of years, also in a move that was either blessed or greenlit or put into action by a Musso behind bars, that Georgie Neck Zappola is the heir apparent. And we were told before his arrest in the spring of 25, where he's in state charges out of New Jersey, facing a gambling racketeering case, denied him bond. He's got to fight the case from behind bars. But before that, for a couple years before that, he was essentially the acting boss for the acting boss, or I guess a street boss, you could say, for DeSantis, who was acting boss for Little Vic, who is the official boss, in his 90s in prison. And that Georgie Neck was being introduced throughout the summer of 24, was being introduced to other crime families throughout 23 and 24. He was being introduced as, this is the guy that's going to be taking everything over. Zappola, you know, deep connections in New Jersey as well as Brooklyn, goes back to Vic and Gas and all those guys, has got bodies, but is also a guy that's very popular, very seasoned, knows all the rules, and has a lot of respect with people. And, you know, he's the future, but he's fighting the case right now. So who's handling all of Georgie Neck's things? Who's handling Georgie Neck's rackets? Well, I'm told it's Ray Argentina, and another guy that's an OG, and a guy that's both feared and had a reputation as a cowboy. And like we were talking about with some of the guys in the Bananos, same is the case with Ray Argentina. He's mellowed in his older years and is now getting more responsibility, has been out of prison for a little bit, handful of years. And there were rumors from some podcasters and stuff online that Ray Argentina could be getting in, getting back some responsibilities, some stature. And we're here to tell you that as of now, it's true. And Ray Argentina is helping look after Georgie Neck's stuff, whether it be in Red Bank or Brooklyn. He is, I don't know what the official title is. Acting capo, he's not acting street boss. He's not in the administration, but he's somebody that is pivotal and integral in making sure everything with Georgie Neck's stuff is being handled properly, with him fighting the case. So Georgie Neck, Big Mike, Little Vic, and then when we go down a little further, Frankie Bones, who another guy that came up with Georgie Neck, and a lot of people predicted big things for him, and some of that is materializing. He's the underboss, Frankie Papagni, and the consigliere, his Bowat Barada, Anthony Barada, another one of these guys that takes a licking, keeps on ticking. It's been around forever, in his late 80s, tons of respect, beloved, and is providing counsel and settling disputes, and has a big role. Now, what goes on when he eventually can't do that anymore because he's in his late 80s? You know, we heard that Frankie Bones might move into the consigliere spot, and then somebody else would move into the underboss spot. But that remains to be seen. Ray Argentina could be one of those people that takes an administrative spot. But right now, it's Little Vic, it's Big Mike, it's Georgie Neck, even though he's locked up, and Frankie Bones and Bowat Barada. Let's finish up with the Gambinos. And we talked about the Gambinos a couple of weeks ago when we reported on one-arm Ronnie Truccio, Ronnie One-Arm, becoming the new consigliere. A lot of people had a lot of opinions about it. I'll address some of that in a moment. But this is a family that has had a lot of debate about it online, a lot of acrimony, frankly, in the last couple of years after a pretty long period of peace. And the Sicilians, Lorenzo Menino, Dom Cefalù, and that faction took over the Gambino crime family after the Gotti era concluded in the late 2000s, early 2010s, and has led it now for a decade and a half. And everything was very copacetic. You got to remember, I keep on saying this when I address these issues, and we've heard about some of the turmoil between three different groups right now in the Gambinos, the Sicilians, Little Nicky Corozzo, and Gene Gotti, respectively. You got to remember that the Sicilians, yes, they came originally. They came here Don Carlo Gambino put them into business in Cherry Hill in the late 60s, 70s. But for the most part, if not for the entire part, this particular generation of Sicilians, Cefalù, Menino, Frankie Boy Cali before him, RIP Frankie Boy, were guys that came up under the Gottis, guys that got their made their bones and got their reputations in the Gotti era. So even though they're separate groups, and Gotti was famous for kind of saying, I'll never trust the Sicilians 100%. You know, they're always going to be scheming behind our backs or whatever. But, you know, everybody got along. So it wasn't shocking that things were pretty stable for a while. But for whatever reason, these last couple of years, we're told that there has been some butting of heads and a lot of big egos, big personalities, guys that feel that they're you know, owed a certain due because of, and who am I to say they aren't? I mean, these are guys, when we're talking about Gene Gotti and Little Nicky, you know, guys that have more than put skin in the game. They've lost long chunks of their life to prison sentences. They've lost friends and family to the street, to just attrition, with people dying from natural causes. You know, they're both guys that are in their 80s. Little Nicky's 86. Gene is either about to turn 80 or already turned 80, and they're legends. Gene's a legend in Queens, and Little Nicky's a legend in Brooklyn and Queens and Long Island, Staten Island, South Florida. So it maybe in some ways this was inevitable that people were going to start jockeying for more authority, and you know, Little Nicky and Gene were not in the picture the first decade of the Sicilians' run, and then they had out in the late 2010s, early 2020s, and had to get acclimated. So maybe it makes sense that now is when they're starting to be a little bit, or there was, I should say, starting to be some noise and some short tempers and some people feeling slighted and some people wanting more of a say than they were given or more of a piece of whatever pie. But you know, this was a group that for a couple years was shaky. We've been told in the last 6 months, the last 8 months, 10 months, things have calmed down. And the return of Ronnie Truccio is one of those reasons. I know that that's something that some people are are taking issue with. But Big Louie Valerio has kind of aged out and dealing with his own medical issues. Lenny Di Maria, still the underboss. Lenny the conductor, the ultimate, the consummate statesman in New York LCN, a guy that is connected all over the city and has people that want to do him favors and go back with him a long way, you know, in every borough. Somebody that can kind of work magic in diplomacy. So you got the Sicilians, you got Jeannie Gotti and Tommy Sneakers over in Queens. You got Little Nicky and his guys in one part of Brooklyn, the Sicilians, another part of Brooklyn. And, you know, I'm standing behind my reporter here with Ronnie Truccio. I know that, you know, he's not in the best of health. I know that there were some issues before he went to prison. There were some issues when he went to prison. But all of this is water under the bridge. And he is looked at as a valuable peacemaker right now. He's somebody that has good relationships with everybody that is a player in this soap opera, whether it be Lorenzo and Dom Cefalù, Little Nicky and Jean Gotti. So I know he's on supervised release. I know all of the issues you can list, which might tell you that he wouldn't be given this responsibility, but I have this source from a number of different people in a number of different spaces that have access to what's going on within the Gambinos and these different factions. And Ronnie Truccio has been a major reason that things in that family have stabilized. Now, what that means for the future, I don't know. Is this something that he's just kind of going to come in and be a plumber and kind of fix the issue and then go out and live his best life retired? I don't know. But right now, since he came out at the end of 24, Ronnie has been brought into the Gambino politics that were going a bit haywire, and either through people that he was sending messages through or through meetings that he was taking with intermediaries, or I don't know. I don't want to say he's violating his supervised release, because I just know that he's been empowered and that he has gotten everybody to play nice. And whether or not that is a temporary thing or a permanent thing, I guess remains to be seen. But Ronnie is wheeling and dealing and has got his son, Al Truccio, back off the shelf. Now, I want to be, once again, I want to be very clear with what I'm reporting. Not, you know, Al Truccio was a skipper, youngest skipper in New York City, I think, at one point. Had his issues, got shelved, had some issues with the Little Nicky and his brother JoJo, and JoJo's son, Joe Jr. And he's not, I'm not reporting that Al Truccio is back doing a bunch of heavy lifting for the Gambino. He had to be brought off the shelf so he could be there with his dad and certain people when certain conversations were taking place, and just basically to watch his dad's back. He needed the currency of that button, or an active button. So he's running a successful restaurant. I'm not saying that he's a capo again, or you know, head first diving back into the rackets once he got his button, but for the sake of what's going on with his pops, he's been brought off the shelf and is being allowed to work with his father and middle for his dad and all that stuff. So that's where we stand right now with New York LCN in spring of 2026. I enjoy doing these episodes. Whenever there's changes in the administration, we'll always report it. We bring you the most elite exclusive insight when it comes to the North American underworld, Cosa Nostra, the mafia, biker bosses, drug kingpins. We cover them all, and we've got moles and sources all over the place feeding us information on an almost minute-by-minute basis, so we can vet it and package it and bring it to you, give you guys all the access that you need and want for the kind of reporting we do on a day-to-day basis when it comes to mafia and the underworld, the gangland universe. We want to hit it from 360, get it all different angles, and bring it to you, whether it's history, whether it's modern day, whether it's breaking news, across all of our different platforms. So thank you for like, share, subscribe, Original Gangsters News and Podcast. Head over to our Patreon, Original Gangsters Members Only, where we are doing some things a little bit different there. And we're starting to build a kind of a new format in terms of how we put out content there, a little bit different. Not as, you know, we're doing a lot of non-LCN stuff over there. We're cultivating some new personalities that we're going to be bringing on there. And by the summer, our members only is really going to be popping. So we look forward to that. And then our web magazine companion, The Gangster Report. If you're into, you know, every morning getting up and reading a new story about breaking news in the underworld, go check that out. So please, everyone, like, share, subscribe. Scott Bernstein, Original Gangsters News Network, uncovering the underworld, one city, one region, one country at a time. I'm out.